But that phrase, "the Lord be with you," we're very used to that phrase, aren't we? Well, don't know if it's good news or bad news, but it's going to change. Starting the first week of Advent, your response will be, "and with your spirit." And that's just the kind of the tip of the icebergs that will be changing as the Mass is retranslated. And we'll be talking about that more later. I just want to begin to try to draw that to your attention. But that phrase, "the Lord be with you," isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want the Lord to be with us? Don't we want to know His presence in our lives? Wouldn't we like to feel His peace? Wouldn't we want to be assured that we walk with Him and not against Him? Deep down, I suspect each and every one of us want the Lord to be present in our lives. In some way, I think the purpose of the Easter stories that we have in the Gospels is to assure us of that. They are to ensure us that the Lord is truly with us. Now, He's with us not like He was before Good Friday. Because before Good Friday, we could see Him, or those that were alive, could see Him with their eyes. We no longer see Him with our eyes. But in a way, I think His presence is more real today than it was then. Because then He was limited by all the limits of our physical bodies. He could be in only one place at a time. And if He had to go somewhere, He did it by foot. Now, He's here. But He's in Ingalls. He's over in Wright. He's over in Spearville. He's in Wichita and Topeka and Kansas City and New York. Probably over in Shanghai and London. He is everywhere. Where people are gathered in His name, He is present there. We do not see Him with our eyes, but He is with us. And at times when we're really alert to it, we experience in powerful ways that He is present among us and with us, that He walks with us. The gospel today speaks to us of that presence. But there's something else in that gospel that I want to kind of begin to focus on. I want to focus on the fact of how the gospel and many of the gospels of the Easter season are also trying to assure us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. Now you might say, well, why is that important? Because it shows that this faith of ours has been a faith that has developed from Abraham on, and that Jesus is in continuity with all of that. If we go to the first reading today, notice our David. Well, it's really Peter speaking, but he quotes David, King David. Is there in that piece it says, "Because you will not abandon my soul to another world, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." And then St. Peter asks, well, who was that Holy One? He said, David. Wasn't him, because David died and went and was buried, and you know his tomb's still here among us. And then Peter says, we know who it was. It was Jesus. He died. He rose. And He lives. His body did not undergo corruption. The Gospels want to assure us that this Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those promises of the Old Testament. This is just one example. But it gives us that assurance that this Jesus who we worship, that He is the fulfillment of all that God has promised. He is our salvation. He is our way to life. That's what the scriptures want us to know, that this Jesus fulfills everything. For many centuries, the gospel reading we had today has been taken as a story about the Eucharist, about the Mass. And you may say, how is that? Well, if you look at the structure of that story that I just read, what happens there? Right at the first part of the story, Jesus is explaining the scriptures. They had on that road to Emmaus a liturgy of the word. Those scriptures were being presented to those early disciples. And then, what happens next? They sit down at table. Isn't that what we do? We gather around the table of the Lord, around the altar. And then we know His presence among us through that holy bread, that life-giving cup. Now, there's another part in there I want to talk about. After the liturgy of the word, what do? We bring up bread and wine, and we bring up a collection. What is that all about? Well, that bread, that wine, those gifts we offer are symbolic of ourselves. What they're really saying is that we are symbolically offering ourselves to the Father in union with Christ Jesus. And that's what we are asked to do at Mass. You and I are asked to offer to the Father our lives. Pope John Paul II in his, I forgot which letter it was in. Okay, his one on Sunday. Pope John Paul II said, when we come to the Sunday Eucharist, what we ought to do at that offertory is, in a sense, place on that plate the joys, the sorrows, the struggles, the disappointments of the week that has gone before us, and that we offer all of that to our Heavenly Father in union with Christ Jesus. I think if we could do that more consciously, the Mass would take on a much more profound meaning for us, because we're offering everything to the Father in union with Christ Jesus. And then, of course, what happens is that the Father offers us His greatest gift, the gift of the life of Jesus Himself. Gives us that gift to nourish us, strengthen us, to transform us, to remake us into His image. Now, going back to that offering piece that I just spoke about, it's very important that we offer ourselves. You see, unless I die to myself, I can't be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as I'm clinging to me, I want it my way, I want my stuff, I want my things, Jesus can't transform me. I have to let go. Indeed, I have to die to myself in order to be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. So that dynamic of the Mass is so important, that we offer ourselves to the Father so that Jesus can fill us with His life and transform us, remake us into His image. Now how many do we have this morning? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? Okay. Folks, this is the tip of the iceberg. I think where's Norma? Did she go away? We had over 80 last night, I think, didn't we? At the two masses. And the weekend before, we had about a few less. And God only knows what will happen at the noon mass, because it's going to be full. But what's going to happen is you are going to receive the Lord Jesus. It's going to look like bread. It's going to taste like wine. But in faith, we believe that it's something else. You know, the Jesus who was the Word of God, who created all things, He has the power to recreate that bread into His body. He has the power to remake that wine into his blood. He has the power to use those things to give us his very self, his very life. And that's what he wants to do to each of you. He wants to share his life with you. And that's important because only Jesus has life that lasts forever. And if you want to live forever with God, you have to have the life of Jesus in you. That life began in baptism. I don't want to forget that. But we have to keep renewing it and strengthening it. And we do that through the Eucharist, through the gift of his body and blood. This is a very important day for you. But I just want to ask you to try to offer yourselves to the Father. Say, God, our Father, I give you myself. I give you all the things that I am. And I ask you to accept it and make me to be more and more like Jesus, your Son. It won't happen overnight. I got a long ways to go yet. But little by little, Jesus will begin to transform us and make us more and more like himself.